What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How are you doing? If you want to reach out to the show, please do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can find links to social media there as well. And one of the things I wanted to talk about in this episode is actually about social media, the silencing of dissenting voices through the social media platforms that currently exist, how it's done, who's behind it. Is this some sort of haphazard type thing? Are we imagining it, or is there a little bit more to the story than what we've been told? Well, the short answer is we're not imagining it. The social media deplatforming, shadow banning, throttling of reach, failure to list suggestion videos like they do in YouTube, all that stuff is happening. That's not a bunch of complainers like sitting around going, man, nobody's watching my videos. It must be getting shadow banned. Like, there's a real thing happening there. So, and it's coordinated. It's not accidental. It's not haphazardly put together. It is choreographed and laid out at the highest levels of government how this is going to play. And if you think for one second that Google or Facebook or Twitter run their own operations by themselves autonomously, you are out of your mind. There is so much influence being put down on them from the beginning, starting with the funding of these companies. When you take money from a venture capital firm called InQtel, just know that you are taking money from the CIA. It is the venture capital arm of the CIA. Much in the same way that DARPA builds the futuristic robots and weaponry and things like that for the CIA and the military-industrial complex, InQtel is the financing arm. So taking money from the CIA is usually a bad thing. You know, I mean, if you want to. If you're in the spy industry and then you take money from the CIA, then it, you know, maybe it makes a little bit of sense. But when you're rolling out a social media platform and you are taking money from a venture capital firm that has, either is InQtel, which is literally the CIA's venture capital firm, or somebody like Sequoia Capital, Kleiner Perkins, you know, one of these Andreessen Horowitz, you have to know that these venture capital funds firms have ties back to the government as well. And maybe they didn't start off that way, but you look at someone like Accel Partners, they're deep. These guys are an extension of the deep state. Yeah, they put a lot of money into a variety of companies doing all sorts of things. So it's not to say that everything that they're doing is data mining or 5G or something nefarious. But they've got money spread out throughout a variety of companies. And don't forget about how VC firms that are early in on the seed levels and you know, early rounds of funding, you know, you get seats at on the board of directors for that too. That has a lot of value. So when you dig into something like the CIA's creation of LifeLog, and as a social media platform following people through their life as they, you know, grow up and go along through their life, compiling information about them and letting people, you know, add information, you know, it didn't take off because who wants to be a part of a platform that's run by the Central Intelligence Agency? I don't. So what'd they do? They killed it. And on the same day they killed it, guess what corporation was born into existence on the exact same day in 2004? Facebook. Think that's a coincidence? I don't think so. They're doing the same thing LifeLog was hoping to do. But when it's Facebook, and you can spin this story of how it was born out of a dorm in Harvard by a freshman geeky guy named Mark Zuckerberg, who's just this lovable nerd who's just kind of stumbled into this brilliant technology. And yeah, he screwed over some people, the Winklevoss twins, that had claims to this data, this program, this code before he did, but it all kind of got worked out. And that sort of went away. And then now off we are again, just with this Mark Zuckerberg character, the lovable nerd dropping out of Harvard after his freshman year to launch a multi-billion-dollar company and become the face of technology. Where have I heard that exact story before? Bill Gates, Harvard, freshman year, dropped out, stole technology from another company, had a huge legal fight about it. That got put in the past, went on to become this multi-billionaire nerd hoping to help the world with his Gates Foundation, just like the Chan Zuckerberg Foundation that's now coming up. If you think this stuff is just accidental and not following some sort of pattern, then I don't know what to tell you. These things are planned out. You got to have a face. You got to have a face of the organization. You know, you got to have a story behind it. Ooh, isn't this great? We'll make the social network. We'll make a movie about it. It'd be great. So it's not to say that you can't be a smart guy, go to Harvard, drop out of school and create a great company. But this is just looking a whole lot like, a whole lot like Bill Gates part two. Down to the fact that Zuckerberg, paging Dr. Freud, Zuckerberg has a reputation of not being a coder himself, actually. There's a lot of people close to him that say the guy doesn't know how to code at all. So there's questions about where he got this software code. There aren't questions about it for people that know. He got this from the intelligence agencies that have been working on it. You don't put the architecture for Facebook up as quickly as they did without as many bugs as they, you know, with as few bugs as they had without this. And you start to drag guys at venture capital. Who's the first person that was involved in the VC round, as a seed funder for Facebook, 10% for $500,000, Peter Thiel. And who does Peter Thiel have ties to? The military industrial complex, big time, through Palantir, which is a data mining company used by the Department of Defense, now also used by Wall Street and other corporations, using artificial intelligence to map through billions of possibilities simultaneously to try and come up with some potential outcome. These guys have, you know, they're all connected to the DOD in some way, shape, or form. Facebook is the greatest spying technology ever created, and also the best advertising platform. And why is it so good at advertising? Because it has everybody's data, so they can really target, narrow down the demographics and put you in the most targeted searches possible. If you're somebody advertising, you've got a widget you want to sell and you want to advertise it on Facebook, it allows you to get really specific in terms of zip code, average medium income, and things like that. You know, so Facebook knows everything about you if you're on the platform. It knows quite a bit about you that you've put in, but it also connects to your friends and knows what your friends say about you and those sorts of things. And it all gets stored. It's the new gold. It's the new oil. Data. Data is the new valuable currency. And who's got it? Facebook, Google, Twitter, Snap. You know, these platforms have access to your information because we are participating in it. And one of the things that that happens once you develop platforms like this is that it doesn't take too long before people look to try and manipulate these platforms. Now, Facebook manipulates their own platform. There's no doubt about that. But the alternative media has been forced to grow out of social media because social media started to put the clamps down on the alternative media several years ago. And it forced the alternative media to then go develop their own websites. So it's a little bit fragmented. It's not everything's not all in one place on Facebook. I think a lot of the alternative media still post to Facebook, but they don't, and YouTube for channels and things like that. But they don't allow themselves to put all their eggs in one basket. So you've got somebody like my buddy Sam Tripoli, who's a comedian and also is the host of Tinfoil Hat, who wakes up one morning and YouTube has taken his channel down. No explanation, no judge, no jury, just them taking it down. And when they take your channel down, you don't get to get in there and download all your videos and pull them off. You better hope you have them archived somewhere else. Now, in Sam's case, he, you know, was able to contact some people that he knows in high places, or, well, let's just call it who it is, Joe Rogan, to, you know, make a call or two and say, hey, you might want to, you know, consider reinstating this channel but it's a wake up call. I mean, it was a wake up call for Sam, who went on to start his own website called Broken Simulation. And Sam has been a friend to me, a great guy, an unbelievable supporter of my work. I will always appreciate him and the things that he has done for me. And I also happen to like his work and like his comedy. But it's a wake-up call. They're coming for you. You can be a dick joke comedian like Sam and still have Tinfoil Hat podcasts where you talk about some interesting topics that rub people the wrong way, but you kind of do it with a smile and you do it with a laugh, and it's, oh, I'm a comedian and we're just talking about this stuff. But they will come for you one day. They will come for you. And so what we've seen is this breaking up of the alternative media into smaller sections. And that wasn't accidental. That's a coordinated effort. So who's behind it? Who's making the decisions on this stuff? Is it Facebook and YouTube? Well, not totally. I mean, in the end, it's their call because it's their platforms. And so they will do what they need to do. But the discussion is happening at levels higher than them. Where they get their marching orders is from the Atlantic Council and the German Marshall Fund and the Poynter Institute and the Council on Foreign Relations and these think tanks, these NGOs, these councils that are put together with globalist maniacs that are trying to control the world, trying to push for a one world government. And they're doing so in a variety of ways. But one of the things that they are very involved in is the framing of the discussions about certain topics. And so when you become a social media platform, in theory, what you're doing is you're just operating as a platform. Content creators come to your platform, they put their information in there, and then that is disseminated out, and then people either consume it or they pass on it. It just works like that. What Facebook has done and what YouTube has done is they've started as a platform, but then they've changed. Now they're in charge, and they're in there saying, this is what you can and can't do. So they're really publishing information. They're making decisions on whether or not somebody should be allowed to continue creating on their site. Now, I understand. Now, let me be clear. If the content creators are creating videos that are just reprehensible, hate-filled, racist, you know, awful content, I can understand why the platforms might say, we don't want this we don't want you to play in our sandbox and you've got to go away. I can understand that. But even that is a slippery slope, because if you're creating a platform and you're going to allow people to come on there and have free speech and say what they want to do, if there's a market for it, people will listen to it. If there's not, they'll just go away. The guy who has a YouTube channel who is dressed up like Adolf Hitler and is constantly calling for the Jews to be exterminated, you know, like that guy is either going to get views and that'll validate the fact that there are people out there that like his content, or he will get no views and eventually he'll just give up because he's talking to himself. Yeah. But so you automatically start to go down that slippery slope when you start to tell people, start throwing people off your platform for hate speech. So hate speech is a vague term, because I would suggest that what the content creator or what the platforms really don't like is speech that they hate, not hate speech necessarily. And somebody's hate speech to them might not be hate speech to somebody else. So it's very subjective. And if I call Mike Pence an asshole and suggest that he probably has Boy Scouts buried in his crawl space, which he probably does, is that hate speech or is that just my crazy opinion? And where does it fall? Well, if you're a Mike Pence fan, oh, it's hate speech. If you're the rest of humanity, the other 7.5 billion people that aren't Mike Pence fans, then it's just a wacky comment. So it already is causing people to take a look at what definitions of hate speech. Now, the question is, who is defining it? And currently, who is defining it are all of these organizations. And let me add a couple more to the pie here, as far as who is involved in shaping what is allowable speech on social media platforms. Two other organizations are very much involved in that: the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center. If ever there were two totally misnamed organizations, it would be those two, because the Anti-Defamation League spends the majority of their time going around defaming people. And the Southern Poverty Law Center is not in the South. It doesn't deal with poverty. It has nothing to do with law. And I guess it's a center, but that's about it. These two organizations have a huge problem. They're set up to protect Jewish rights and everything, and that's really kind of what their focus is. But really what it is, what they actually do, as opposed to their cover story, is they go and hunt down anybody that is critical of Israel and Israel's foreign policy. And there is a lot of criticism to go around for Israel's foreign policy, let me just tell you. So these organizations are set up under the, you know, under the guise of protecting people that are being defamed and things like that. But they're bulldogs, attack dogs that are out there going after people, intentionally trying to silence them. They've all been sued multiple times for a variety of things. They've got some major systemic problems in those organizations, and neither of them should be taken seriously for anything they do. They are a stain on American culture, because they don't do what they say they do. In fact, they're so dishonest in their mission to, you know, prevent people from being defamed. Hey, I'm not saying you should go defame people. I'm not saying that you should criticize Jewish people. And I know what they're going after. They're going after, well, you people are saying that you're Holocaust deniers or you're anti-Semite. Everybody's an anti-Semite these days, according to the ADL. Everybody's, you know, running hate factories, according to them. Which is very ironic, considering nobody has more hatred than the ADL, you know. But they have a seat at the table when it comes to shaping the policies of these social media platforms. They have a lot at stake there. And the directive has gone out to silence the alternative media. It went out in Bilderberg in 2015. That was when the plan was laid out, and then it started happening. The purges, the adpocalypse, the shadow banning, all of that. Coordinated effort. Alex Jones being deplatformed on Twitter and YouTube on the same day. Or was it Twitter and Facebook? I can't remember. It was two of the three. Not accidental. Not a coincidence. Say what you want about Alex Jones. Everybody obviously does. But when that happens on the same day and he's deplatformed, that's not just random bad luck for Alex. That is a coordinated attack on him, because yes, he talks about some crazy things. Yes, he rants and raves like a lunatic. But he's also talking about some things that the powers that be do not want you to have real discussions about, because it affects them. So social media has been kneecapped, or has the alternative media has been kneecapped on social media because of this. It's frustrating. It affects everybody's money. You know, all the alternative media content creators have watched their advertising revenue just get cut off. But it's also an indicator that we're making a difference, that we have them legitimately concerned, because they feel that the only way that they can prevent us from getting this information out there, relevant information, obviously, if it was irrelevant information, they would let us continue talking about it. But they've decided that they want to control the message by controlling the messengers. And this takes me into the next section of this, which is a very evil company that has been created in order to specifically to silence discussion on social media. And that is BrandGuard. Well, that is NewsGuard, technically. BrandGuard is a component of NewsGuard. And this is a company that you've never heard of. but you better. It first got on my radar in January of 2019 when Whitney Webb wrote an article about it in Mint Press News. And I went nuts. Whitney's great. She's been on the show. She's a phenomenal writer. This story was something I was unaware of. And I started digging into it. And then I started going on shows and I started talking about it because I felt like it was so important that people know who this company is, what they're doing, what their plans are, because it is being rolled out to the public. And when it comes, you're going to be stunned at what they have in store for you. And they're looking to make this the new normal. So let me read a little bit about who they are and what they plan to do, because it's something that you need to know about in advance. So when it pops up into the, when it becomes relevant and accessible everywhere and becomes, a mainstream term, that you know about who NewsGuard is, what they're really trying to do, who's behind this company, why you should be extremely concerned about what they're doing. And then additionally, then from that point on, you can then take steps to warn your friends and family and say, hey, this rating system is not what it appears to be, and you need to be aware of it, and you need to actively speak up against it. So what NewsGuard is it's a rating system for websites. What they want to do is they want to have a red, yellow, and green rating system on every website. And you would have NewsGuard installed on your browser as a plugin, right? So if you have Chrome or Firefox or Brave browser or whatever, I don't know, maybe not Brave. I don't know if they would allow it, but this is what they intend to do. They are lobbying to have their news rating installed by default on all computers in libraries, schools, universities, and smartphones, and all new computers sold in the United States. And they're going to get there because of who they have working for them, who's on their advisory board. This is a quote from NewsGuard talking about what it is they do. A SWAT team of NewsGuard analysts operate 24/7 to identify suddenly trending purveyors of unreliable news among sites that NewsGuard has not yet rated and warn internet users about them in real time. So what they want to do is this. They want to go through and give your website some sort of grade, color grade, red, meaning unreliable, yellow, meaning moderately reliable, green, meaning very reliable. And so when you're loading up a website and you have NewsGuard as installed on your browser as a plugin, then if I go to thewashingtonpost.com or cnn.com, up will pop a little green circle, like a green light. You know, red, yellow, and green, like you're driving your car at a stoplight. So currently, Washington Post and CNN get green ranked because, they're super reliable and all. They haven't been caught lying about everything. And RT gets a red stop sign on theirs because, Russia, right? They're from Russia. So InfoWars, they're going to get themselves a nice big red one. Corbett Report, red one. SGT Report, red one. Alternative media, everybody, what you're getting for Christmas? You're getting a red dot, courtesy of NewsGuard. Now, so this is a company and that's what they're doing. So let's look at who's behind this company, because it's important. There's two founders. One guy is Stephen Brill. He's the founder of Court TV, and he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, that designation of being a CFR member is going to be a running theme in not just the owners, but also the advisory board. The second co-founder is Lewis Gordon Krawitz. He is the former executive vice president of Dow Jones. He was with the Wall Street Journal. He's a board member of Business Insider, which received $30 million from the Washington Post. Gee, I wonder why the Washington Post got a green rating. He's a member of the CFR. He's edited books published by the American Enterprise Institute and the Heritage Foundation. These are both globalist organization, neocon think tanks. And this guy's been busted for lying about NSA surveillance in his Wall Street Journal columns, as well as being busted about lying who invented the internet. So he's not a trustworthy guy. He's got a lot of problems in his past. He's one of those deep state, you know, swamp creatures. But those guys are mildly troublesome. It's the advisory board that looks like the bar from Star Wars with all these lunatics. So starting with Tom Ridge, you remember Tom Ridge? He was the Homeland Security Director. He's the guy that gave you the red, yellow, and green coded signals for terrorists, you know, because terrorists love to follow stoplights. Then you've got Michael Hayden. Michael Hayden is the ex-NSA director. He was also the CIA director. He is a member of the Chertoff Group. He is the chairman of the board of BAE Systems, which is a military industrial complex company that makes missiles located in the UK. And of course, he's a member of the CFR. Michael Hayden was the head of the NSA when Snowden was talking about the NSA. And he was also the CIA director. You're trying to put together a company that is going to give you an honest assessment of news websites, and you brought the director of the fucking CIA in? Your advisory board to what? To give you credibility? Was Adolf Hitler not available? This is unbelievable. But it gets worse. Richard Stengel is also on the advisory board. He is the former editor of Time magazine. He's a distinguished fellow at the Atlantic Council. And he described himself as the chief propagandist in the Obama administration. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. You can find the video of him at a CFR meeting where he's on a panel discussion. And he's talking to the crowd, and I've mentioned this before, but he's talking to the crowd and he's saying, frankly, I don't have a problem with propaganda. I think propaganda is good. I think, you know, a lot of countries use it, and I don't entirely have a problem with it. Okay. So the chief propagandist of the Obama administration, who says that propaganda is okay with him, is on the advisory board of NewsGuard, a company that is trying to help you decipher which websites should be believed and which websites shouldn't be believed. And they brought this motherfucker in to help you sort it all out. You understand the problem here? They added more people to the list. How about Don Baer? Former White House communications director to Bill Clinton, chairman of PBS, and the chairman of the PR firm Burson, Cohn, and Wolf. Now, Burson Marsteller was the original name, like before the merger. These two PR firms merged together. But before that, Burson Marsteller, which was where Don Baer was the chairman of, let me tell you who they represented. This is like totally unbelievable. They represented Union Carbide after the Bhopal explosion in India. They represented Argentina when it was under junta rule. They represented Johnson & Johnson after the Tylenol poisoning. and asbestos lawsuits. They represented Saudi Arabia after 9/11. They represented the Washington Redskins to support their Indian logo. They worked with Monsanto on GMOs. They were hired by Facebook to pitch anti-Google stories to the media. They were hired by the Nigerian government to discredit reports of genocide during the war they were having there. They worked for Three Mile Island Nuclear Facility to try to spin that gigantic disaster. And they worked for Big Tobacco. I'm a little bit surprised they didn't work for IG Farben. I mean, I guess they kind of technically did, since they represent Monsanto, and then Monsanto Bayer merger, you've got a little bit of that in there. But so here, just to recap, and we're not done yet either. Tom Ridge, Homeland Security Director. Michael Hayden, ex-NSA CIA Director. Richard Stengel, Chief Propagandist. Don Baer, the chairman of the PR firm that represented every single person except maybe Satan himself. Who else did they get? They got Elise Jordan, former communications director for the National Security Council, speechwriter for Condoleezza Rice, worked for MSNBC and Time Magazine. This is troubling. This is troubling because of what they... Now, if this... to be fair, if this was the advisory board for Lockheed Martin, I could understand it. You're a company that's dealing with war, and so you bring in a bunch of spies and liars to help you sell war. I could understand that. I still wouldn't like any of the people on here. All these people can go to hell as far as I'm concerned, but I would understand it if you're Lockheed Martin. But when you're NewsGuard, and you're trying to convince everybody that you're going to be the arbiter of what is true and what is false in terms of the internet websites that are in the news business, and you've put this cast of characters together, get the fuck out of here with this. How insulting is this? And we have one last member of the advisory board, Thomas Glauser, former CEO of Reuters, board member of Merck and Morgan Stanley and Publicis Group, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, of course, member of the Atlantic Council, of course, advisory board member of Affinity, a big data and artificial intelligence business. So these are your advisors, the worst human beings on the planet. I mean, that might be a bit of an overstatement, but they're the worst people to put on your advisory board if you're actually trying to get to the bottom of determining whether news is factual or propaganda, you know, or somewhere in between. And not to be outdone, NewsGuard has partnered with Microsoft to add the app automatically to their browser and plans to install them on all Microsoft mobile phones. They also intend to have Facebook, Google, and Apple directly integrate their product into every smartphone and tablet sold in the United States and then eventually worldwide. That's why you put this board of directors together, this advisory board. That's why. To have pull to get stuff like this done, to get it mandated. I'm a little surprised that they don't have Eric Schmidt on their advisory board. Or, you know, someone in that category, because he'd be the perfect deep state scumbag to be a part of something like this. But maybe later, maybe he'll just invest through his hedge fund that he's managing now, working for the Department of Defense. So we'll go a little bit more into this. So Publicis Group and Google already have existing relationship, and Publicis Group is an investor in NewsGuard. So it won't be long before NewsGuard shows up on all YouTube videos, Google searches, and pre-installed on all Android phones, because it's coming. You know, it's coming. So it's just a dishonest organization. And as evidence of how dishonest they are, Gallup released a poll stating that 89% of users of social media and 83% overall want social media sites and search engines to integrate NewsGuard ratings and reviews into their news feeds and search results. Gallup released that poll. 89% of social media users, that's 8 out of 9 people, want this NewsGuard company, their ratings and their reviews, in their news feed for search results. That's what the poll stated. Except they failed to mention that NewsGuard paid Gallup to do the poll. And they only asked 706 people. And they paid them $2 each to participate. And then said, quote, may not be reflective of attitudes of the broader U.S. population. You think? You don't think 8 out of 9 people really want NewsGuard to tell them whether or not a particular site is to be trusted or not with that advisory board? First of all, nobody knows who NewsGuard is. For them to say that, you know, to run some obscure poll and say, what do you think of NewsGuard running? Oh, yeah, I'm in favor of it. These are people that, listen, you paid them $2 for their opinion. How valuable is their opinion? Let's be honest. You get them like walking out of a Walmart or something, like, hey, Cletus, want to participate in a survey? I'll give you a cheeseburger. I mean, this is embarrassing. That's how you manufacture this fake consent. So is it really a surprise that NewsGuard is going to fake a poll result? They're in the business of faking everything. This is a dangerous company. So let's look at who their investors are. I just mentioned this. Publicis Group is one of their investors. Who's Publicis Group? Well, they're only the third largest global communications company in the world. They just launched a controversial AI program that it's called, what's it called? Oh, Marcel, for their ad agency, so that they can determine what brands should, what these brands should do with their ad dollars. So they have a subsidiary company called Qorvis, Q-O-R-V-I-S, Qorvis. And they represented Saudi Arabia after 9/11. This is the part of this Publicis Group and part of they're all involved in whitewashing human rights violators, you know, whether it's Publicis Group or whether it's Burson, Cohn, and Wolf, or whatever. This is, these are the people you're working with. These are the people that are going to be in charge of telling you whether your news is fake or not. So Publicis Group also owns Saatchi & Saatchi, which is a huge advertising agency. And their clients, Publicis clients, include Monsanto, Merck, Pfizer, Eli Lilly, and even entire countries. So this is one of the investment groups. And I'm going to tell you in a minute why this Publicis Group is so important in general, but their ownership of Saatchi & Saatchi in particular. So then they've also got investors from Blue Haven Initiative. Now, this is a group that partners with the Shell Foundation, the Omidyar Network, who's Pierre Omidyar, who's the founder of eBay, the U.S. Global Development Lab. And, you know, Blue Haven Initiative is you know, partnered up with some disturbing people. Companies owned by the Pritzker family. They also own the Hyatt Hotels, Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, TransUnion Credit Bureau. All this. The family is the second largest contributor to the Hillary Clinton campaign. And they're worth about $29 billion. Another investor is John McCarter, former senior vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton, where he focused on strategy for his clients at Monsanto and ConAgra and Cargill. I mean, these are some bad companies to represent, but that's kind of what you get, right? Okay, so here's the play that that they're also working on. So you've got NewsGuard, which is doing the red, yellow, and green rating system for websites. Then they have a second component that's called BrandGuard. And what BrandGuard says that they're going to do, according to their website at least, is this. Brand safety tool aimed at helping advertisers keep their brands off of unreliable news and information sites while giving them the assurance they need to support thousands of green-rated news in and information sites, big and small. So, what does that mean? They're going to use their advertising agency connections to have all ad agencies adopt a blacklist of news sites deemed unreliable by NewsGuard, or at the very least, all of Publicis Group's clients. And they, like I said, they own Saatchi & Saatchi. So count their advertising clients in as well. So think about it like this. They're going to ad agencies. NewsGuard is going to ad agencies, and they're saying, we have a new component called BrandGuard. And what that will do is that you're an ad agency and you've got all these clients, and your clients are worried that their ads are going to wind up running on some website that's talking about controversial subjects. And we don't want our products being advertised on websites. Let's just use InfoWars as an example, Alex Jones's platform. Not that they take outside advertising, but let's just say that a company like Kellogg's is represented by Saatchi & Saatchi as an example. I don't know if they are. They may be, but and Kellogg says to Saatchi & Saatchi, "Listen, we're going to spend $1 billion this year on advertising for all of our brands, but we want to make sure that our ads don't wind up, you know, when you place them out in these networks, we want to make sure they don't wind up on InfoWars and sites like that." And what NewsGuard is saying is, hey, advertising agencies, license our software program from us for a fee, a large fee, of course. And what we'll do is we'll make sure that we integrate our NewsGuard red, yellow, green system into this software so that your clients' ads don't ever run on anything that's deemed red or yellow. So what they're doing is they're going to choke off any advertising revenue that might have flowed to the alternative media, as an example. They're going to make sure that you don't ever see an ad dollar if you're running Natural News or one of these websites that's talking about alternative health, or just at least very, at the very least, not parroting CDC talking points. You know, somebody like Natural News is, and Mike Adams is definitely not parroting CDC talking points. So they'll make sure that no advertisers find their way onto that platform. They'll sell it to the ad agencies as a benefit to their clients that will make sure that you're not wasting your money, or you're not going to be in a situation where you've advertised Kellogg's and it's wound up on Natural News. And then everyone says, hey, what are you guys doing? You're advertising with these disreputable conspiracy theorists here. This is a huge problem. And then people start to protest and everything. So it's an insurance policy for the brands that they don't wind up on alternative media. So they're choking you out. Us in the alternative media, people like us that are interested in, we're either in the alternative media or we like content coming from the alternative media. This is a way to make sure advertisers don't advertise there. It's really screwed up. So BrandGuard will try to join forces with Google's AdSense to target alternative media sites looking for advertisers. It's worth noting that Google is a military contractor, so anything critical of American foreign policy would be subject to demonetization. And Google would be able to remove AdSense ads from a website and blame NewsGuard as the bad guys. See how this works? NewsGuard is injecting itself in between these platforms and the other websites. They can say, well, someone can go to Google and say, why did you pull my ads? Why'd you pull all my ads? It's like, well, don't blame us. We use NewsGuard, and NewsGuard said you weren't worthy. So that's the reason why we pulled your ads. So gives them, you know, this deniability factor where they can just say NewsGuard's the bad guy. So NewsGuard, their mission to restore trust and accountability in journalism is a joke. All they're doing is protecting their existing power structure, like the White House, the military-industrial terror complex, and the oligarchs that run the major corporations. They're protecting them from criticism coming from the alternative media. They're planning to ruin the reputation of any media platform that does not toe the party line. That's what this is about. It's a new layer of censorship disguised as an arbiter of trusted and untrusted news sources. So the people in the alternative media that are screaming about censorship and all those things, they aren't imagining it. It's real. It's really happening. The numbers have fallen off a cliff. Subscriptions on YouTube have been throttled. People are unsubscribed all the time. I have a friend who has two YouTube channels, and he woke up one day and went to one of his channels and he saw that he was unsubscribed. He was unsubscribed from his own channel. So clearly he didn't do it. It's their algorithms that are going through there and doing that. It's dirty. It's shitty. It's shitty of Google to do it. And they're doing it on purpose. It's not accidental. You can look at Zach Voorhees, the whistleblower who went from Google, who went to Project Veritas and told his story about how they were creating blacklists. People had suspected it, but he was able to point it out and say, this is, and here they are. Here's the list. Here's all the words. You know, the words that wind up on there, stuff about vaccines, stuff about particular school shootings, shootings in Las Vegas, all of these things, all these words that if you type them into the YouTube search, which is second only to Google, I think, in terms of search engines, that it won't give you the stories you're looking for. Like in the, 5 years ago, if you typed in, Boston bombing hoax or Boston bombing drill or something like that, you'd get Alex Jones, you'd get David Icke, you'd get, you'd get whoever in the alternative media. Now you get your search results when you're searching on YouTube, you type Boston bombing hoax or drill or something like that, and you'll get ABC, Fox, CNN, you won't get the alternative media because they don't want you to discuss things like this. They don't want you finding these videos. Now, this is not, once again, this is not accidental. This is not some fluke. This is not, oh, we've revised our algorithms to make them a little bit more current. No, that's not what they're doing. They're being told to do this by the Atlantic Council and the German Marshall Fund and the Poynter Institute. These organizations are telling, they're driving this policy in conjunction with the Bilderberg group, where they talked about this. We knew this was coming. This is not a secret. This is not speculation. It's not us speculating on this. They've talked about it. They've openly said, Google has said, Facebook has said, we have brought in the Anti-Defamation League to help us with ferreting out hate speech. Why? Oh, because they're in charge of making sure people don't get defamed? Stop it. They are not. That's not what they do. This is that inversion thing that we've talked about. You're like, Anti-Defamation League, what do? They defame people. It's all backwards. Department of Defense, what do? They go, there's the Department of War. It's just, everything is inverted and backwards. When one of your co-founders of NewsGuard is a guy that's edited books for the Heritage Foundation and neocon think tanks that include Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, Richard Perle, and PNAC, that's not a guy you want to trust. That's not somebody that's going to give you fair and balanced information. That's somebody that is going to give you a very particular agenda. A SWAT team of NewsGuard analysts operate 24/7 to identify suddenly trending purveyors of unreliable news among unreliable. You mean like the mainstream media? You don't need a SWAT team of analysts to identify that the mainstream media is lying to you on a constant basis. You just need a set of eyeballs and a low functioning brain. That's all. That's the minimum requirements needed to understand that the mainstream news is lying to you. And this software program, this NewsGuard, is going to be installed on all your cell phones and all your laptops and your tablets and all that stuff. And people are going to think of what Snopes is. Think of how goddamn unreliable Snopes is. And think of how many people still believe them. Well, Snopes said it was fake, so it's fake. Well, maybe Snopes isn't the best arbiter of truth, but people know who it is. This is the new Snopes. It's NewsGuard. And they're going to sell it like this is a real organization full of professional, serious journalists. They are there to give you the unbiased opinion on which sites can be trusted, according to the CIA. According to the least trustworthy people on the planet that they put on their advisory board and then partnered with Microsoft and Google. This is totally Orwellian. So I've ranted and raved about NewsGuard before. This is not the first time I've done this. And the reason why I picked them, besides the obvious reasons that I listed there, is that I think that this company has the connections. Well, I know for a fact they have the connections to become a very powerful company, and they are going to be a ratings agency that is going to just bully and push their way to the front and claim that they are above reproach, that their analysis of these sites is to be believed and trusted based on what they're doing and who they're doing it. And then they're going to pull in some bullshit like, oh, and we have our AI computers working round the clock to analyze these trending, you know, all these buzzwords. It's none of that stuff. It's a bunch of neocon globalist scumbags sitting around saying, silence that guy. Give that guy a red star or whatever it is, red circle. Give that guy a stoplight. Oops, David Icke is having too much success on London Real, talking about important things. Make sure that when davidicke.com comes up, it gets a big red light on it. I'll tell you what, make sure that that happens on London Real too. We'll teach him a lesson for having David Icke on. It's going to go both ways. This is the carrot and the stick. David Icke's of the world will get the stick. And platforms that want to have him on to talk about the truth will have to think twice, because what will happen is that some of the people that open their website up to him, to have him come on their show, to have him, you know, conduct an interview with him and try and get to the bottom of some serious topics, they will watch as NewsGuard goes after them as punishment, even if they're out of it, even if they're not the alternative media. They're just sort of, hey, you know, this is an interesting conversation. Let's have the conversation with this crazy, wacky conspiracy theorist guy, David Icke. Let's have him on. We'll give him a safe outlet to just come on, and we could talk about, discuss some of these things. You know, some outfit that doesn't even necessarily believe the things David Icke says, but just agrees to have him on their show. Boom, watch them get hit with a big red circle from NewsGuard. And then the word spreads. Then it's like, hey, David, I'd love to have you on my show, but like, I can't risk getting a bad rating from NewsGuard for having you on, because we both know it's going to happen. And then that's censorship right there. It's a form of self-censorship. It exists. It's devious. I do it now. I have to censor myself on Twitter. Because when you jokingly suggest that Bill Gates should be thrown into a volcano, and then Twitter kicks you off their platform, and then you find a way to sneak back on under a different email address, and you have to start all over with zero followers like I did. And then this coronavirus thing breaks out and Bill Gates is all over the news. Do you think I don't want to tell everyone to throw him in a volcano again? Of course I do. I'm dying to. But I can't. Because now I know it will happen. And people close to me that know that I got thrown off, they know what will happen to them too. Now, I might have been more on Twitter's radar than somebody else, but I don't even really know how. I didn't have that many followers. They didn't like what I was saying, but I wasn't saying anything like hateful. So NewsGuard will provide the overt censorship. Social media platforms will provide this somewhat secretive censorship where they're shadow banning and unsubscribing people and not even so much deplatforming them, just demonetizing them. That's sort of a really sketchy, half, you know, shady way of doing it. It's not secret. It's not overt. It's somewhere in the middle. And then you've got the other component, which is the self-censorship. So you have three layers of this: overt censorship, semi-hidden censorship, and self-censorship. All coming together in how we present information out to the public, it being throttled down, and that's always dangerous. And I suspect that at some point they will just start permanently kicking people off of these platforms, that the semi-hidden censorship will manifest into overt, full-blown authoritarian censorship where they just flat kick you off the platform. And every time you come back on in some form or fashion, they get you again. We've watched them cut off payment processing companies to people. They've gone after WordPress. They've gone after Stripe has gone after people. They won't accept credit card payments from on some websites that are talking about alternative news and conspiracy theories and things like that. And, you know, it goes back to that Martin Niemöller quote about the Nazis. You know, first they came for the gypsies and I wasn't a gypsy or whatever. Then they came for the trade unionists and I wasn't a trade unionist, so I said nothing. Then they came for the Jews and I wasn't a Jew and I said nothing. Then they came for me. And this is the same thing that will happen in the alternative media. First, it starts with the Alex Joneses. Then it spreads out to the Sam Tripolis where they're trying to take his channel down. Then it'll move on to lesser known people. And then it'll just be anybody talking about anybody that's even so much as questioning vaccinations. Gone. It's dangerous. It's ugly. Mainstream corporate media is awful. Social media platforms, which I use hypocritically, I must say, they are, and I have to be better about that, to be honest. I really shouldn't be on Facebook at all. I approach it though that I'm using them. I know they're using me, but I'm also using them to get my word out there about the show and about the books that I write and things like that. So I can justify it to myself in that sense, but I do also understand that Facebook is fucking evil. So take away from this episode most definitely is when you see NewsGuard, start telling everybody about it. Start telling people how devious they are. Do not fall into that trap because they're going to be, you don't know who they are now, but you're going to know who they are pretty soon. They're going to be everywhere and it's going to be a gigantic problem. Please share the show. We need the help as we do an episode about social media platforms not helping us out. Listen, they're not going to help to share this information. So if you're listening, wherever you're listening to this, please share it with your friends and family or people you think that might be interested in it. Thanks a lot, everybody. Take care.